So I want to share with you something that I think God has been speaking to me for the past couple of weeks that maybe I should have taken seriously in the beginning, but didn't. And after sort of ignoring, I don't want to say ignoring, because I mean, I don't ignore God. I'm not that person. But after dismissing it and almost, you know, forgetting about it for a couple of weeks, I've been hearing and seeing and getting little reminders everywhere and little confirmations all over the place, where it's almost like the exact same message is being communicated to me through different channels and mediums, and I just need to take it seriously. And so basically, my relationship with God has changed very drastically over the past couple of years. I think, especially being the Enneagram 3 that I am, an overachiever, you know, perfectionist, workaholic, I really shouldn't be saying these things all my life. I cancel and rebuke that, Jesus. Thank you so much. Right? But as someone who loves to push themselves to their absolute limits, I always want a formula. Whenever it comes to absolutely anything, whether it's my walk with God, whether it's my relationships, whether it's my school, or, you know, just anything in life really that requires me to put in effort or to sort of put in an input for a certain output, I always, always, always want to know what the formula of success is, because this is very embarrassing to say on the internet, but my biggest fear as Barbara Moahi is failure. It's very ridiculous. I know it's ridiculous, but nothing cripples me like the thought of failure. And so with my relationship with God in particular, it's been, I don't want to say it's been difficult like it's been difficult, but it's been difficult in that I kind of want to reduce God to a formula, and I want to reduce prayer to a formula. I want to reduce journaling to a formula, reading the Bible to a formula. And if you look at my room, I've literally got so many journals, so many journals, because I'll start journaling in one season and then like 2 weeks down the line, feel like I've been doing the wrong thing in this journal. It's not full yet. It's not even halfway yet, but I feel like I've completely messed it up and I need to get a brand new journal to try this brand new formula that I'm pretty sure is going to work and I'm pretty sure is going to be the way that I'm going to get to God. And so it sounds very ridiculous, but this is how my mind works, because I'm a logical human being. Like, I like for things to make sense. And so when it comes to praying, when it comes to journaling, reading my Bible, any sort of part of my relationship with God, I've always wanted to get it right and I've always wanted to get it perfect, but it doesn't work like that with God. And so my relationship with God has been constantly changing and ever changing. And one thing that really set me free was just, I don't even know how I got to this conclusion. If somebody asked me this question, or if it was in one of my meditative, you know, situations where I kind of came to this conclusion that if I am meant to have a relationship with God, I think it's actually Pastor Michael Todd, because Pastor Michael Todd always says this. And one thing about Michael Todd, child, you cannot escape him. Like, I don't have to listen to his sermons on a Sunday to know that he spoke about comparison this past week, because it will literally be all over my Twitter, all over my Instagram, and all over my WhatsApp. It's just, he's just everywhere, right? And so he keeps saying this thing. There's this thing that he says, and I know I used to watch his sermons back in 2019 heavily, and I recently started picking them up again. But something that he always says is, God can't bless who you pretend to be, and God can't intervene in a situation that you are pretending you are not in. Because, and I said this in my last episode about the Holy Spirit, that God at the end of the day is a gentleman. Like, the Holy Spirit is not going to force himself onto you. God is not going to force himself onto you. He gives us free will, and that's what love is. Love is the ability to have choice. And so Pastor Michael always say, like, God cannot bless who you pretend to be, bless who you pretend to be. And I think this year I came to the realization that, you know, everyone knows that I'm a little bit crazy. Like, I think if you follow me on Instagram and watch my stories on a daily basis, I'm so sorry. Like, this is my formal apology. I'm so sorry for the trauma that I put you through daily. But technically, you put yourself through it too, because you be clicking. You be clicking. Anyway, if you see me on Instagram or you've seen me on YouTube, then you know, like, I, as much as in my head anyway, I'm a chilled individual, I think the way that I express myself comes across as very all over the place. And I know this. I've said this so many times, and I think I say this on WhatsApp though more than I do like publicly, but my friends literally treat me like some sort of copywriter. It doesn't matter whether they're writing a thesis, whether they're, my dad does it too, where he'll be, so my dad is, okay, I'm not going to tell you what my dad does, but he's a spokesperson of something or someone. And so a lot of the times, like, he writes a lot of statements and speeches and stuff like that, and I'm always the go-to person to read and proofread the speeches and statements before he sends them to the people who are relevant to the situation. But it's the exact same thing with my friends. They'll draw up CVs and then send them to me, and immediately I'm like, girl, this English is rocking me. And so as somebody who grew up and amongst friends and family is the go-to girl when it comes to language, I will admit and say that when it comes to verbal communication, I'm 100% not the best. Like, I can write down my thoughts and articulate myself beautifully when it comes to pen and paper. But if I have to open up my mouth, and this is not like public speaking, because one thing about me, I think I don't have a fear of public speaking because I'm not that person. And I literally did public speaking. Ish, my phone is busy flashing. You see, the thing of removing visuals is that your phone will flash and disturb you, and you might even lose your train of thought. But my lack of verbal communication is not based off of the fact that I struggle with public speaking or anything like that, because I don't. What I do struggle with, however, or what I am working on, not what I do struggle with, because we must be very vigilant of the things that we speak about ourselves. But what I do, what I would like to work on, and one area of my life that I think is probably, I don't want to say one of my biggest insecurities, but if I had to name like a very weak area of my life, it would be my ability to articulate what I know I can properly flesh out on pen and paper with my mouth in the moment and on the spot. And so when it comes to my relationship with God, it was crazy to me how much pressure and emphasis I was putting on saying the right prayer, like articulating myself properly when I pray and using, you know, proper diction and all these kinds of stuff when I'm speaking to God, when literally man like God knows the thanos that he created. He knows how all over the place I am. He made me. Like, he knows what's good. And so recently I changed the way that I, well, recently is also like very relative, because I'm talking February. In February, I decided to change my communication with God and the way that I pray and the way that I speak to God. And one of the things that I've sort of implemented in my everyday life, and I saw someone actually ask this question on Instagram. I put up a question sticker asking about the Holy Spirit. So if you have any questions or anything that you'd like for me to chat about concerning the Holy Spirit or this podcast as a whole, you're welcome to leave it. I've made a highlight on my Instagram. I think the highlight is named TF, but the bubble has That's Funny Podcast, the words inside of it. So you can literally click on it and pop in whatever it is that you want to pop in, or send me an email and I'd be glad to, you know, expand on whatever it is that you'd like for me to expand on to the best of my ability, obviously, because I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a theologian, I'm not God either. I'm just a girl, you know, who's trying to figure it out just like you. But someone asked me, how do I incorporate the daily spirit, wow, the Holy Spirit into my everyday life? And how do I make sure that I'm constantly hearing from him? And literally, it was just about integration. I've learned that your time with God, while it is sacred and you should have some sort of plan and structure as to how and when you're going to meet with God, speak to God, chill with God, I think that sometimes we put way too much emphasis and way too much pressure on the formula and getting it right and making sure that it is perfect, because it's almost as if we don't get the formula right, we're literally not going to hear from God. I don't know if that makes sense. Well, that's just how my mind works anyway. And so what I did was I sat down and I broke it down to the simplest of simpletons to say, what is prayer, right? What is prayer? What is the purpose of prayer? Prayer, and I love this illustration that just came to me when we were celebrating Easter this year, where basically they put on this entire production at church where we were taken through different stations. And you can actually go watch it on Urban Life Church YouTube channel. There should be like some sort of something somewhere, because I know it was also streamed online and I know they don't delete their stuff. So I'm pretty sure you can check it out. It's called the Easter Immersive Experience. And so what the immersive experience was supposed to do is put us, or immerse us rather, in the experience that Jesus went through on the night that he was slain. Why did I say Jesus was slain? On the night that he was crucified. Guys, it's 10:30 in the evening. I'm sitting in the dark in my bedroom. Forgive me. Because after 9 p.m., my mind literally runs wild, wild. But that's not the conversation of the day. And so at the very, very, very last station was where, you know how Jesus is like crucified on the cross, sharp, and then the veil was torn. And now because the veil was torn, we have direct access to God. Okay, so I'm going to explain it properly because I'm realizing that it's very wild of me to assume that everyone knows what I'm talking about. So I'm going to dial it back a little bit and chat you through it slowly. And so basically, if you go read in the Old Testament, I don't know where, somewhere, it speaks about how there was an appointed man of God, right? And so this person was the only person that could enter the Holy of Holies. And so basically, it was almost like a sacred tent where the presence of God was housed, right? And this person would go into that place. But this is the chosen one. You must understand, they are the chosen person out of the entire country. And they had to go and sacrifice whatever offerings that they were sacrificing to God on behalf of the entire nation. And so everybody's sins would be forgiven only once a year when this person goes into the Holy of. And maybe it isn't once a year. You probably should go check it up on Google. Just Google High Priest, Holy of Holies, and the scripture should pop up. Bible, add Bible at the end. The scripture should pop up and you should be able to read in depth and properly in detail what all of that was about. But basically, what that meant was before Jesus died on the cross, no one could speak to God for themselves. Like no one could go up to God and say, yo, God, I messed up last night. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Or yo, God, my mom has got athlete's foot, please heal her from the athlete's foot, Jesus. And you literally couldn't do that because there was no Jesus and you didn't have the access to God like that. In fact, I think it speaks about how the people who did try to go in there would be like struck by lightning or die, or it was just always something incredibly crazy. I remember there's a story of like the covenant of the Ark of the Covenant of God, something like that. And this one guy tried to touch it and the presence of God is housed there, and it's just like he got struck by lightning, he died on the spot. It was the craziest thing ever. Old Testament is wild. And the reason why I think I'm paraphrasing all of this, I really want to disclaim for anyone who's listening to this and like, why is this girl saying she doesn't know? So why is she talking about it? This is not the conversation that I entailed to had. I was going to speak about being seen by God and everything that God has been speaking to me personally this week and the scriptures related to that. But this podcast is taking a different tangent and I'm going to allow God to take me on this tangent because I don't know who this is for. Cool. So basically what Jesus being crucified on the cross did was tear the veil in the tent, which meant that instead of one person going on behalf of the entire South Africa to go apologize for our sins and then pray whatever prayers we wanted to pray to God for us, we now have direct access to God anytime, anywhere, right? Doo-doon, 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 doo. Everywhere you go, literally. And when they did the illustration where literally they tore the curtain apart, immediately it hit me that the God of the universe, who spoke everything into being, who has the ability to provide, who has the ability to heal, is someone that I can speak to directly anytime, anywhere. Completely changed the game for me as well when it came to my prayer life, because what I then started to do was, and this is something that I used to do in 2019 that I kind of lost intentionality about because I'm that girl, hey, God help me, but I started incorporating praying in traffic again, praying when I'm in queues, praying when I'm working. But when it came to my quiet time with God, like my actual devotional time with God, where I'm starting my day with God and this is my intentional hearing from God period of time, I basically scrapped the whole get on your knees next to your bed, you know, open your Bible, I don't know, light a candle. I've got friends who like light candles. I also used to be that girl, but anyway, that's not the point. Light a candle, you know, or pace up and down in my room, praying at the top of my lungs. Like, I deconstructed all of that and took it back down to the basics of prayer. That because of Jesus dying on the cross, I now have free and full access to the God of the universe to speak to him whenever I want, however I want. And in the book of Matthew chapter 6 in the Message translation, it says, when you go to speak to God, when you pray, come before him as simply and as honestly as you know how. Put aside all theatrics. And obviously I'm paraphrasing because this is a scripture that I've read so many times. Matthew chapter 6 in the Message translation. It just speaks about going to God as openly and as honestly as you know how. Simple, simple. Open your mouth and speak the same way that I would speak to Mashiko, the same way that I would speak to Mbali, the same way I'd speak to any one of my friends. I must just go to God and say, God, what it do, baby? Well, obviously, I don't say what it do, baby. It depends on the day. Like, hey, sometimes I'm like, hey, God, what it do, baby? And then I start chatting to God. But what I did was I took the whole devotional thing outside of my bedroom because I realized that I was pressuring myself to kind of get into this perfect formula, sing two songs. After singing two songs, the presence of God should be here now. Now you can get on your knees, open the Bible next to you and start praying. What I started doing was, and this is something also like I felt God was really putting on my heart, was to get back into exercising more, not because I need to be a slender or anything crazy like that, but because I just need to take better care of my health. And so in my walks in the morning, I started praying in my walks. So instead of having my devotional time in my bedroom next to my bed. I get up in the morning, put on exercise clothes, and then walk around the estate in conversation with God. So I'm not running, I'm not jogging or doing anything hectic. I'm literally just walking and talking to God. I especially love doing it now that it's winter. Please, I'm so happy because the sun only rises around 6:30, which means that if I wake up at 5 and I go outside, there aren't a lot of people. Nobody's going to hear my prayers. Like there's literally nobody to hear anything that I say. And back in the summer, my devotion looked like praying in the car on my way to school, because it's literally like an hour and a half drive from here to school in Joburg. So when is a better time than that to turn off the radio, turn everything off? Nobody's in the car with me. I drive by myself. No one will know that I'm speaking except the strangers who like things and are looking into my car and watching me speak. But I could also just be speaking to the Bluetooth speaker. You know, they don't know. They don't know. And so with the story that I was going to share with you today about one of the conversations that I had with God, one of the things that I wanted to highlight in my story was the fact that I didn't believe what God was speaking to me on this particular walk. And I think I'll get into this, the actual conversation, in a different podcast episode, because I guess today we're dealing with prayer and devotion and building a relationship with God and how you can incorporate the Holy Spirit into everything that you do. So I didn't necessarily believe God, or I didn't really take it seriously, and I kind of dismissed it, because what I found is in this new style of prayer that I'm doing with God, in this new found relationship where I'm kind of just being myself and being super casual, super chilled with how I pray, which is basically just a conversation with God, it's almost as if like God speaks back to me immediately. And I'm not saying that if you change the way that you pray and approach the whole prayer thing, God is going to now start speaking to you immediately. But that's what happened with me, is I found that I don't have to go and fast for 2 million days on end. I don't have to pray for 10 hours without ceasing. I don't have to pray at the top of my lungs until my neighbors down the road can hear me in order for God to say, oof, this was the prayer of a fervent, this was a fervent, righteous prayer. You know, this is the prayer of a real woman of God. I can accept this, and therefore I shall send the answer to this prayer in the form of a dove. And God is not weird like that. Like it's literally not as deep as I think we've made it in the church sometimes, and on social media as a whole. Literally. And it's crazy, because now I'm listening to myself tell you this, that was God speaking to me. And I now know that was God speaking to me. Well, obviously, that's why I hit record, because I was going to tell you guys that I know it was God speaking to me. But anyway, I now know that it was God speaking to me through the confirmation that he gave me in the different conversations that I've been having throughout the week and the different content that I've been consuming throughout the week. But looking at the track record of my life in the past 3 months alone, every single time I prayed and got that immediate response, or a response 2 days later in the form of whatever the response came in the form of, even though in that moment I didn't believe it, because I felt like I needed to work hard for God's answer, or I needed to work hard for God to, you know, see that I'm a real Christian, a serious Christian, and then now he can start like answering my prayer, which is also ridiculous, because I've literally been saved since 2014 and I still want to prove myself to God in my head. In the Bible, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, the whole of Ephesians, if you go read the whole of Ephesians, and we've been doing this series at church called Grow Up, right? And basically what the series is supposed to do is encourage us to grow in our walk with God and in our relationship with God. And at the very beginning of the series, you can go listen to it, actually. It's available on Apple Podcasts. I don't know about every other podcasting platform, but I know it is available on podcast, Urban Life Church. And the pastor's name is Warren Hollenbach or something like that. I don't know how to say his name properly, but it's there on the podcast as well as on YouTube. And you can go listen to his first sermon where he speaks about being fixed in God. And so basically, he just went in. And even before Warren, I think the conversation before Warren where Donnie was the one preaching that Sunday, and he was speaking about how being fixed in God has absolutely nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with my behavior, and it has nothing to do with my track record. Being fixed in God has everything to do with what Jesus did on the cross. And so in the book of Ephesians, I think it speaks about how the saving work is God's work and the keeping work is also God's work. I think in the book of Philippians, it says it like God is the one who gives you the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. And so a lot of the time, it's almost like we take the pressure and the responsibility of our spiritual growth and our spiritual maturity on ourselves. And yes, there is a role that we all have to play in our walk with God and in growing. And there are decisions and choices that we need to make in order for us to get to the next level and grow in our relationship with God. But how God sees you and whether God responds to your prayer or not has nothing to do with you and has never had anything to do with you from the beginning. It is a gift that has been given to us equally. And even in the conversation that I was going to share with you today, one of the things that God had been dealing with me about, especially in the season where I was heavy within comparison, is that I look at myself and I look at my life and I'm like, God, how is it that, you know, I'm struggling in this particular area of my life? Maybe let's say financially. I'm struggling financially, but I've literally been serving you faithfully since 2014. You know, it isn't a very long time, but how come the girl who got saved yesterday, literally last week, okay, let's say last week, not yesterday, last week, right? You already have blessed her with her own apartment, blessed her with her own car. You are doing so much in her life, God. And she's still tripping up in sin. She's still going back and doing A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But I've been here. Like, I've been faithful. I've been serving. Like, how are you not pouring out the blessing that you're giving her? Like, why is it that you're holding out on me? Why would you do that to me, God? And literally, God starts speaking to me about how when you look at your life, you are not blameless, right? And by you, I mean me. I'm not blameless. There are still certain areas in my life where I definitely 100% am sinning. So if I make an example, say gossiping. This thing of I'm walking, maybe with Mashiko, like we're walking. And you know how like we all have that friend who, if something happens, or there's a situation going on in our midst, I can tell her something with my eyes and she will receive the communication that I'm telling her about what this person is doing with my eyes, and we'll both start laughing, but we haven't even exchanged words. But that's a form of gossip. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a form of gossip because this person didn't even hear us speaking. They were with us in the car the entire time. And we're laughing. They don't know what we're laughing about. They're even laughing with us. Little do they know we are laughing at them. Do you know what I mean? That is a sin. That is a sin. Well, for me personally, it is a sin because that's a form of gossip for me. Me personally, I'm not projecting my personal convictions on anyone. But for me personally, that's a sin. And so the Holy Spirit just started highlighting for me how that sin is literally equal to someone who is a convicted serial killer and has gone on a murdering spree, killing 16 people, which is also equal to that girl, you know, who got saved last week, who keeps going back to her old patterns and her old behavior. And it's almost like we put levels to the 10 commandments in our heads. Like, we put levels to the sins, like, okay, if I tell someone that I'm leaving the house right now when I know that I haven't even done my makeup. It's a white lie. It's not that deep. I'm going to be done with my makeup in a second. It's not going to kill anyone. That's a lie, which makes you just as bad as the guy who went and slept with a married woman. You guys are equal. You telling your friend that you are leaving the house when you are still doing your makeup is equivalent of a sin to the guy who went and slept with and even killed the husband, just for spice and drama, even killed the husband of the girl that he slept with, aka David. But anyway, that's an equal sin. And so for me to look at my life and say, oh God, but I've been faithful, why are you not blessing me? And look at her life or his life or the person next to me's life and say, oh God, look at them. Look at everything that they're doing. How come you are blessing them, but they are doing evil things? You know, God, why? It's ridiculous, because when God looks at us, we are the same. Regardless of the number of years that I've been saved over the number of hours that maybe you've been saved, God looks at us the same, rewards us the same, responds to us the same. The only thing that differs is the level to which we will believe God's goodness unto us. In the book of Hebrews, I think it speaks about how faith is the substance of things not seen, but it also speaks about how without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the more you read your Bible, the more you start to see the common theme about how your faith is almost directly proportional to the level of operation that God can have in your life. I think somewhere in the book of Matthew, it speaks about having a faith that is just as small as a mustard seed. If you have faith that's literally the size of a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, move, and the mountain will be moved, right? But because we don't believe that God wants to be good to us, because we don't want to believe that God wants to answer our prayers for whatever reasons that we've conjured up in our minds, then God is not going to, like, to the level of faith that you have is the level of faith you will be met at, the level of reward that you will be met at. And so you can't look at other people's walks with God, and you can't look at the different methods that people apply in their approaches to speaking to God, whether they journal, whether they pray, whether they make vision boards, whether they don't make vision boards. That is completely up to their personal discretion and their personal walk with God, because you don't know the level of faith that this person has. Yes, you might see the occasional posts on Instagram, but I am telling you now for free that there are people who put posts up on Instagram. And I know this because I've done it too, in seasons where I really was at my lowest in my relationship with God, barely speaking to God. I still was putting on a brave face on social media just to keep up the what you call this thing. I forgot what you even call it. English is completely leaving me. It's a sign that I must wrap up this conversation. I must wrap it up, right? But it's in that season where it was dry. I remember there were days where I would just post the scripture every now and then so that nobody questions whether or not I'm good with God. And thank God that this is not where I'm at anymore. Like, this is definitely not where I operate or how I operate anymore, simply because obviously, you know, I changed churches, like with the move to Johannesburg, moving my school life, everything. And it's a conversation for a completely different day. Something that had to happen was, because I was doing the church social media and everything in my previous church, I had to work with my pastors and everyone else to sort of like transition and phase out. And so I couldn't go from, well, nobody said I couldn't, but for me, in my head, logically, it didn't make sense for me during the phase where I'm being phased out or transitioned out of the social media to now like, hey bro, yesterday we saw you on the page, today it's you posting Urban Life Church. What is happening? What is going on? Right? I then decided, okay, it's fine, I'm just not going to post anything about church or whatever completely. I'm just going to completely leave everything in terms of the posting. And I'm able to do that now because I've come to a point in my relationship with God where I don't care what the next person thinks about how I pray. I don't care what the next person thinks about how my devotional time looks. I don't care what the next person thinks about the fact that I haven't posted a scripture on my Instagram story in 3 months. That is irrelevant to what actually goes on in my relationship with God. And yes, I'm not negating the importance of sharing the word of God, you know, spreading the gospel in whatever capacity God has called you to do so. But what I'm saying is, when it comes to my relationship with God and when it comes to your relationship with God, I think it's absolutely important that you prioritize God over what people perceive your relationship with God to be. And so in closing, we're going to move on to this thought, which is my final thought, or anecdote rather, where there was a day where I was praying, right? There was a day where I was in my room praying, but I was praying like journal prayer, praying. So I had my journal and I was writing out my prayer because, like I said, I'm someone who articulates themselves better on paper and pen than I am able to do with my mouth. And so if I'm not out walking with God, then I'll be in my room or I'll be somewhere really chill and aesthetic and write out my prayer, because that's how I can know that I'm meaning every word and every single thing that I say is authentic to me and what I want to communicate to God in that moment. And I remember praying about my channel, praying about my podcast and everything that I sort of do here on the internet, where I think I said something like, may they see you in me. May they see what it's like to live a life that glorifies God. I think it was something along those lines. But basically, the idea behind what I was praying was, when people come onto my channel, when people listen to my podcast, may they see the glory of God on my life. Like, may they see God's hand on my life. May they see that there is a God, He is good, and He is working. And immediately as I was writing that sentence, the Holy Spirit gripped my heart and said, why do you want your relationship with God to be something that is reflected so much so that strangers are able to see? And again, hear me out. I'm not saying as Christians, our lives shouldn't glorify God, because they 100% should. That is the purpose of our lives. We are called to be the salt and light of the earth. I 100% get that. But I think what was going on in this encounter was God was challenging my thinking, where it was almost like I was digging deeper into the word and I was digging deeper in my relationship with God because I wanted to prove my Christianity. I wanted people to be able to look at my channel, look at my podcast and say, that's a girl who loves God. That's a girl who has God inside of her. But I wasn't really as concerned about pleasing the actual God. And so that's the clapback that I was met with by the Holy Spirit, is what if you changed your prayer for, may they see the glory of God in me, to... Sorry, I'm trying to remember like it word for word. I don't know why I can't remember it, because it's on the tip of my tongue, but the words are not coming out. The words are not coming out. But what if you changed it from, may the people see that my life pleases God, to may I actually please God? And when I changed my perspective from trying to live in such a way that people around me would see the love of God, the glory of God, whatever of God, to I'm only concerned with what God is saying and obeying what God is saying immediately. If God is pleased with me posting a story because He asked me to post the story, then that's what I'm going to do. But I'm not going to post a story on Instagram for the sake of somebody else opening up my thing and saying, wow, woman of God. And not even so that I can be gratified in the wow woman of God, because I think it's also masked in, I want them to say, wow, woman of God, so that they can be inspired to be a woman of God themselves. But that's not the first commandment. The first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your mind. Now I'm thinking of all the different translations, because one says mind, passion, and prayer. Another one says body, soul, mind. There's so many different, but you know the scripture I'm talking about. Love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. But what I'm trying to do is love my neighbor, love myself, love my neighbor so much that they can see that I love God, but I neglected to love God before I went to go love my neighbor, that I felt needed to see that God is real and is the one to be loved. I hope that makes sense. I really hope that you got that analogy. Please play it back, because I don't want to have to repeat myself, because I think the more I repeat myself, the digger a hole, the bigger the hole I dig for myself, and the worse the analogies come and the wilder the statements become. So just play it back, try to figure it out. If you can't figure it out, DM me. I will try again. Only if you DM'd me within a month of this conversation. I don't know where we'll be a month from now. So if you DM me, I can't make any promises, because hey, my sister, hey, life, it's moving. Life, it's on the go. But I really hope that you found this conversation super insightful. I know my thoughts are all over the place, but this is something that I'm being super intentional about. That's why I've stripped away the visuals of this podcast, because I think the visuals add an element of pressure onto me to make sense. And I know I'm a girl that doesn't make sense, but also God, yeah, you'll hear all about this in the coming episodes. You will hear all about this situation, but know that God is working on me. God is helping me to become a more articulate individual. God is helping me to be able to order my thoughts better and communicate and convey my heart in a way that makes sense to people. And so I hope that you found this super insightful, and that it helps you on your journey with God, on your journey with just journeying, man, journeying. I want you to have a fabulous week, and take the pressure off of yourself, because literally nobody is judging you. I promise you, no one is even as concerned about your prayer as you think they are. I think even for me, it's still something that I'm learning, especially when we pray in group settings at church and stuff like that, is I think everyone is super conscious about the way that they pray. Everyone is conscious about, what are they going to think about the way that I pray? I don't want to be the one to pray for the food. I don't be like, everyone is hyper focused on their prayer and how it sounds, that I promise you, they don't even care what you sound like. And so what I'm trying to do in this season is take every opportunity that I can get to pray, take every opportunity that I can get to speak and share and just develop my skill, because I think that there is great opportunity in not being on a big stage. I think there's great opportunity to grow in your capacity with God. A lot of us almost postpone our growth because it's like, when I am a leader, or when I have a small group, or when I marry a pastor, I will start to preach more. I will start to do this more. I will start to take my walk with God seriously. I think even some people do it with age. Like, when I reach a certain age, I will start to be serious in my walk with God. But now is the time to be serious in your walk with God, because now is the time that you can learn to pray properly and authentically. Now is the time that you can learn to articulate what God is speaking to you personally in your private life or your private time with God, to articulate the word of God to your friends in the little conversations that you have daily. Because if you're going to wait until you get onto a stage to start being intentional about your prayers and being intentional about the things that you say and the conversations that you have with people, in my imagination, that's going to be a very big problem, because you're trying to be perfect on a stage at something that when you were not on a stage, you didn't practice. Almost like the kids. I'm the kids. When I say the kids, I'm talking about me. The kids who didn't go to high jump practice in high school or hurdle practice in high school, and then when the athletics meeting came and it's time for you to run and the whole school is sitting on the bleachers watching you do high jump, you are knocking the pole down and holding it like a javelin because you're a clown that didn't go to practice. Don't be that person. Go to practice so that when it's time for the athletics meeting, you can get the gold medal. Well, there is no gold medal. Let's pretend God is giving out gold medals, but we're all equal, so there's no gold. Ciao. Goodbye.